Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations all over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
Dino Long.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Tam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, Lante en route. He will be here at some point. For the first segment, you get Kyle and I. And we're going to talk some, get this, it's going to be riveting, Chicago Bears football. Yes!
You're rocking the Bears hoodie today, though. You're making a bold statement there.
Yeah.
I still am proudly going to rock that Chicago Bears logo.
I wouldn't say it's proud. I wouldn't rocking proud. I questioned myself as I looked in my closet. I was like, should I wear that tonight? It is a game night. I want to support Justin Fields. We're going to get into this as far as what I want to see tonight and the big storyline. Well, there are a few of them, but the biggest one is, should Bears fans be in on Justin Fields still throughout this season and beyond, or is it tank for Caleb Williams time? When you're sitting there 0-4 right now, the Panthers are 0-4, you got what currently stands as the top two picks in the draft, still a lot of football to be played, but you're in a prime spot to get what looks to be a sensational talent out of USC. But I will say, as a Bears fan, I am rocking with Justin Fields. I liked what I saw last week. Yes, it was against a Broncos defense that's arguably the worst in the NFL. I mean, your Dolphins put 70 on them. Justin Fields had his best statistical passing performance of his career against them last week. I was encouraged by that. But I'm not ready to give up on Justin Fields. I hate the feeling and the thought that after the end of last season where he saw noticeable steps forward and he was an exciting player, a guy that rushed for more yards as a quarterback in a season than anyone other than Lamar Jackson, I think maybe during his MVP year, more than prime Michael Vick. That's an explosive player. That's a big-time talent. You put some pieces around him in the offense, and I was expecting a lot more this year. So far, it's been a disaster for the most part. I do think situation matters a lot there. I think play calling, I think the lack of protection up front. We can get into all of it. But the short of it is, I'm still rocking with Justin Fields. I want to see the best out of him. I want him to be our quarterback going into the future because I think there's still a lot of untapped potential with him. In terms of the Bears logo itself, I'm very upset with this organization, and I've let that be known. It's kind of like – it feels like me wearing this is kind of like someone wearing a wedding ring in a bad marriage, one that they want to get out of, one that they – have convinced themselves they might get divorced one day. But so far, I don't know that I can get divorced in this one. I was pretty much handed the Bears attire at birth, and 30-some years later, I'm still rocking it. I do have a decision whether to make my son a Bears fan or not, which probably is not that advisable. But, Kyle, what do you think about – let's as you being maybe more of an objective observer, not as emotionally attached to it, you're focused solely, obviously, on your Dolphins. But we know you watching countless other games and whatnot. What do you think of Justin Fields? What should I be rooting for if you were to prescribe me? Here's what I would recommend you as a fan be rooting for.
I still think Justin Fields is really talented, and you can see that. I think the job the coaching staff has done with the Bears is, I just can't believe that half that staff is still there, to be honest with you, based on that fact. I think there is a lot to that. At the same time, I think if you're a Bears team that, let's say, you go 3-14 again, or you have the worst record in the league, you have the number one pick, and it's a guy in Caleb Williams who's being considered a generational quarterback prospect, one of the best quarterback prospects we've seen here. If I was in that situation, and let's say Justin Fields kind of stays on a similar path. Let's say he doesn't go the next 12 games and is, an MVP candidate, and he completely turns it around. Let's say he still has a lot to prove heading into year 4 after that. I'm probably rocking with, just give me a brand new coaching staff with a brand new quarterback. I don't know how you feel about the front office, but maybe a
terrible
brand new front office as well.
Terrible.
And let's just completely restart here in Chicago with this mess.
Lonte heard Caleb Williams, and he rushed over here to defend his honor as a Cardinals fan who is still rooting for his own team in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes.
I want that kid. I don't think Justin Fields is that good of a quarterback. I really don't. I think he's a great athlete.
Yeah.
And I would say that if you're going to keep Justin Fields as your quarterback, you have to get the right offensive coordinator, the right person to run that, right? And I know like 2 weekends ago he had a disaster and he said he came down on the coaches and he said, it's the coaching and I'm just going to play like me. And then he came out and had a pretty good game. He threw for 300 yards, ran the ball well. The Bears obviously scored enough against Denver, but then the defense then, of course, collapsed. And I heard what you were saying. The fandom thing, I don't know what to tell you on that. I've told, like with Cade, I don't know what to tell you because, I've been in this spot. As you know, I've got two boys, 23 and 16, and I essentially told both of them at a very young age that if they wanted to eat food that I provided, if they wanted to live under a roof that I provided, they would be Cardinals baseball fans. Now, from there, it was their decision. I didn't care who they rooted for in the NFL. I pushed them almost away from the Cardinals, but I think my love of the Cardinals, especially with Andrew, just kind of fell off to him because they were having great years when he was growing up. Or I don't know about great. I don't think the Cardinals ever had great years, but they were having good years as he was growing up. And I think so he kind of caught the bug. Lucas has stayed kind of away from that. I think he kind of pulls for the Cardinals, but he's easier just to sit back and say, you guys are idiots. I don't know why you do this, et cetera. But I've always told my boys, when it comes to hockey, football, NBA, whatever, you do your own thing. Now, Illinois is a whole nother story.
Yeah.
And I have been cursed at lately by my oldest son about making me an Illinois fan. I mean, he cursed me. And I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. I mean, we live 9 miles from our tailgate spot or whatever it is. And we are this close to, I mean, heck, Andrew's friends with Luke Goody. And these guys are just like, I'm like, I don't know what to tell you on that. So when it comes to the fan, I don't know what to tell you about Cade. But I guarantee you he's whatever dad does, he's going to do.
Yeah, his mom's a Saints fan, and there will be that dynamic of it too.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. But
I don't even know if that's that exciting.
Yeah, post Drew Brees.
Right.
To be determined.
But back to the Bears, I don't know. I'm speaking out of turn here because I'm not a Bears fan, but I do watch the Bears. I just don't get the feel that Justin Fields is one of the top half quarterbacks in this league. I think he's a heck of an athlete. I think that with the right coaching, he could do some things. But I don't know. I was the guy that said you should trade Fields and get extra draft picks and just go from there. But
this past offseason,
mm-hmm.
his value was a lot higher
before
the game started this year.
And, when it comes to the Bears, I mean, let's don't kid ourselves, although I'm one of those guys that can jump from a 2-10 Illinois football team and automatically think they're going to win 10 games. But, I mean, they were atrocious last year, right? And so we come into this season, They add DJ Moore. They add a couple of extra pieces. They get an offensive lineman or two. They add to that defense. But you lost a stud defender who is tearing it up still, and I can't think of his name right now, Roquan Smith. Mm. I mean, why would you ever get rid of him? I always thought that. I always wondered that. So,
well, we needed a second-round pick so we could trade for Chase Claypool.
That's right. That's exactly right. So I never understood the whole Roquan Smith thing. I just didn't understand that. And it seems so weird that the one trade that I thought would get the Bears close to the promised land was for the really good linebacker that cost him 3 first-round picks. And it's turned out Khalil Mack. It seems like ever since that one good year, everything has gone wrong.
His first year, they were really good.
And then everything has just gone downhill from there for the Bears. So I guess in my mind, I thought the Bears, and part of it was because I don't know that that division's that good, but part of it is that I thought the Bears could be pretty competitive this year. I had no idea ever that they would be this bad. I mean, they are atrocious. Sorry.
They're a joke. They're a joke. They are. How they lost this past weekend, we haven't really talked about it. But
unbelievable.
It was mind-numbing. Now, I've been well-schooled enough. If someone just, like, parachuted in, if Hans D was flying a private jet up here, someone from, you know, say it was Shad Khan, who doesn't pay attention to the Bears.
Yeah.
He parachutes in, and we're watching at a bar, and the Bears are up 28-7 going into the fourth quarter.
I mean.
Let's roll a round of shots. They're going to win this game. I was like, whoa.
Hold on.
I've seen this before. This is still dangerous territory. Broncos score.
But you were playing Denver.
I know.
It's not like you were playing Kansas City.
I know.
I turned the channel when it was like 28-14. I'm like,
it was still Russell Wilson, who you know has had a billion fourth quarter comebacks. Say what you want about Russell Wilson.
He's beat me a few thousand times.
Our defense is terrible, especially our whole secondary is practically hurt.
Not that
when healthy, defense was, you know, knocking people's lights out in general. But then you have the fumble by Fields. I don't blame him a ton for that one. They called a naked bootleg right into a blitzer off the edge. Now you can say, well, yeah, maybe he should have peeked over his shoulder on the rollout. Maybe he gets more depth, what have you. He threw a touchdown pass to Khalil Herbert on one of those plays where he makes that blindside blitzer miss. Probably 28 to 30 other quarterbacks in the league probably get sacked there.
Yeah, I agree.
And he extended that play. So he's got that natural talent to make some of those athletic plays that a lot of other quarterbacks can't. I think it's fair criticism to say, can he read a defense? When his first read's not there, can he get to the second one? Is he going to panic? Is he not going to see things? He's missed wide open receivers.
I agree.
The Tampa game, there were some clips on Twitter that were just – they were so frustrating because you got receivers running wide open downfield. But I just think, unfortunately, and maybe it is a situation where the Bears need a fresh start, where Justin Fields could benefit from some other situation.
Yeah.
I'm nauseous at the thought of him going somewhere else.
I know what
you're
doing.
With the right play caller, with the right offensive line and weapons, and he's absolutely a star. I think that's still a possibility for him, unless the Bears have ruined him enough. And I'm not absolving him from all criticism and saying it's only because he landed in Chicago that he stinks. But I think a lot of good quarterbacks would be struggling big time right now in this offense with Luke Getsy calling plays, with this offensive line,
and
that's unfortunate.
Let me play detective for 1 second and back you up about 3 minutes. You said that they called a naked bootleg into a blitz.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just uncover part of the problem? Should he not be able to, at the line of scrimmage, understand what's coming? Now, I don't know. I've never been a quarterback. Maybe Luke Altmaier would come on here and say, dude, sometimes you don't know when they're coming.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? It's almost as though the play call was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But is it up to him to get to the line of scrimmage and say, okay, hold on a second. If I do this play, that guy right there is coming untouched, and this is the wrong play to run. I've got to audible out of this.
That's fair.
So I don't know. I mean, again, I'm just throwing that out from the outside.
They're trying to teach him the Aaron Rodgers offense, and I know it was the case under Mike McCarthy, but I think Aaron Rodgers sometimes said, you know, I don't like that play. I'm going to audible it. I'm just going to say, yeah.
Did anybody fly by
cut
the seat
feet
of his
in
pants
my headset?
More?
You know, I'm just going to call this play.
I mean, Brett Favre was the king of it. Aaron Rodgers learned from the king of it. Aaron Rodgers, I think, half the time drew that stuff up in the grass at Lambeau. Like, let's do this and this, and I'll just kind of run around and then do that last second little flip for 30 yards right on target. That's the amazing thing. I don't know. I worry that in a league where the quarterback is so good and they're so accurate and they can do a lot of things, I haven't quite seen the accuracy out of Justin Fields or the decision-making to make me fully appreciate it. But it is funny what you said in the sense that you don't want to get rid of him and then all of a sudden he becomes one of the best quarterbacks ever and now you've got egg on your face as a Bears fan and an organization. But we all have that fear, right?
Of course.
We all have that fear of saying, oh, great. I mean, like Podziemski left Illinois and I don't think any of us were too worried about it, but then he goes on to be a first-round draft pick in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, well, that's kind of embarrassing.
I get it. Yeah, just, and don't get me wrong. Like, if the Bears somehow end up, and I say somehow, it's right now the projection, if they get Caleb Williams and then Marvin Harrison Jr., could I be reeled into being like, yeah, you want to get on board with these guys and then say they hire Eric Bieniemy to be the head coach? Like, yeah, I would be like, I'll try this out. I'll stick around for a little bit longer and see where this thing goes. Like, Caleb Williams has some signs of looking – I'm not saying he's going to be Patrick Mahomes, who's maybe going to go down as the best quarterback we've ever seen. But in terms of his arm strength, in terms of, like, the off-script plays, like the buying time and just, like, waiting for somebody to come open and being able to extend plays with his feet and have a tremendous arm, he's got everything you're looking for. And the ironic part of this for, like, Carolina trading their first-round pick and giving us DJ Moore to get up to the number one pick this past year to get Bryce Young, they might have really messed up by not having patience and saying, let's stink for one more year, and then we'll be able to get Caleb Williams, because the value or the projection in terms of upside is a lot higher on Caleb Williams. I think the ideal thing for me as a Bears fan, the Panthers stink, have the worst record in the league. We get the first pick. But Fields progresses. I'm not the Bears' season's pretty much over in terms of relevancy, playoffs, whatever.
Just win like five.
Yeah, and beat the Packers in Green Bay in week 17 or 18.
I'm just saying that because I want the pick.
No, I get you. But the Bears still end up with one, can trade it for a haul. Justin Fields is still your quarterback.
Yeah.
And then you get a new coach, new system, and what have you. It does feel like a bad dream, though. It just does.
I know.
Because I was so – number one, I was out on the Bears big time before they took Fields. I was so sour as a Bears fan. They picked Trubisky. He stunk.
Oh.
Could have had Watson. I know all the issues off the field.
No, yeah, no doubt.
That would have been hard to stomach if you're like, oh, we got our guy who's actually good, and then he's a really good quarterback in the NFL, and then he rubs you the wrong way because he was getting rubbed the wrong way.
Hey, now.
And then – or Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know if I could say that, but I just did.
Well, but it's funny how you and I, like 5 weeks ago, I was in this dream of having having the top two picks.
Yeah.
Houston, who now all of a sudden is 2-2 in that garbage division, and they'll be relevant all season because of that garbage division, with the Colts leading that division, I think. I mean, now Houston's going to go on to win like 8 games, and that's going to screw that. And then the Cardinals seem like they're halfway competitive, and now all of a sudden it's shifted to you who's going to have the top two picks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had dreams of Harrison Jr. and Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is unbelievable. You know, to be honest with you, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Kyler Murray has some of the same skills that Patrick Mahomes and Caleb Williams, but he's too short. It's that simple.
Yeah.
He's too short, and he can't make a lot of those throws. That's where Mahomes makes every throw. He makes anything you need to be done as a quarterback, he does. If you need him to screen, he's not a big runner, but he can run.
Yeah.
You're not hardly ever going to knock him down in the backfield because he'll get rid of it. He can just
scramble out of a pocket.
Do anything.
Throw from any arm angle.
Yep. It's amazing what he can do. He's got a great touch. He can throw the deep ball. He can hit the, 8-yard slant on precision, with precision. He does anything you need a quarterback to do. He's the ultimate quarterback. And I think Caleb Williams is that guy. After watching him for a couple of years now in college, it is amazing what he can do.
No doubt. I'm also fearful that someone else like the Cardinals will end up with that pick. And the Bears are already in a position where, we need to scapegoat Justin Fields. Let's get a new quarterback. And they trade Drake May from North Carolina. Oh, boy, another North Carolina quarterback.
Here we go.
Or they take Bo Nix from Oregon or somebody like that.
Oh, boy.
And they get it wrong again.
Yep.
And here's another thing I want to add this, because the bad dream part of this is I was so excited about getting Justin Fields that we finally had our guy. I was pumped. And you hire the wrong coach.
Yep.
Because you asked for Bill Polian's advice for some stupid reason. Let's have him pick our candidate list before the GM gets in here. And it has Jim Caldwell and Matt Eberflus and Dan Quinn.
Yuck.
And you know who's in charge right now to make the call on, you know, who's going to – is Eberflus going to keep his job? What are we going to do? They brought in Kevin Warren.
Yeah, that's our guy.
No. As a guy who's covered the Big Ten pretty closely.
Illinois
like,
University.
Here's Kevin Warren in charge of everything Bears. Like, this is a joke. This is a bad dream.
He lives in Chicago, Illinois. Just 3 hours north of Illinois University.
I know some on
Dude, I'm with you on this.
Somewhere on the text line, U of I Atlanta League text line, you can weigh in 217-359-2255. The threat of Caleb Williams saying, you know, I could go back to school. My thing on that is this, and I know Bears fans are going to be fearful. Well, yeah, if they land in the slot for pick one, he could say, I don't want to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm going back. What team's going to be there the following year? It's going to be some terrible team, bad situation, maybe new coach. You don't just get to go to Philly.
Yeah, Philly's not going to end up – although this year they almost did. This year they had like 18 picks in the top 20, didn't they? I mean, it was unbelievable what the Eagles went to the Super Bowl and then had three picks in the top whatever it was. That was ridiculous. But you're right. And you know what? I ripped on Elway yesterday. I ripped on Manning. I did all this stuff. And I can't stand those guys, and I hate that they end up winning two Super Bowls. Even one was too many for those guys. And if Caleb Williams, though, decides to go back to college, I'm not going to fault him for that because he's going to make a crap load of money.
He's within his own right to do so.
And then he's going to face Illinois.
Oh.
I think. Do we play them next year?
They just changed it.
That's right. We don't face them
next
year.
They're at Oregon instead.
That's
right. We need to get into that after this break. We'll fill you in on the new opponent list for Illinois in the Big Ten next year and for years to come.
Mm. I also saw Brett Bielema among the top 25 paid head coaches in college football. Mm. Probably not a surprise. Shouldn't be. Maybe. Is it? We can dive into that. Yeah, but if Caleb Williams goes back to college, I'm not going to rip him.
No.
I mean, I know why he's doing it, because he doesn't want to play for said team who has the number one pick, but he's also making a lot of money in college. This isn't like back in the day when you weren't making anything. Well, legally making anything in college. But if he pulls this stunt where he just is like, I'm not playing, I mean, that's where I'd love for like whatever team that is to go ahead and draft him and say, well, then sit out a year and make nothing. I mean, that's just but that's,
well, the thing is, if he doesn't enter into the draft, you can't pick him.
Well, right, exactly. Well, right. So he's either going to stay or he comes into the draft. And if, let's say, Chicago's got the pick, and if he says, yep, I'm in, and the Bears pick him, and then he says, no, I want to strong arm you, I want you to trade me to wherever, and the Bears are like, no,
right,
we're not doing that. You can just sit here and do nothing for a year and ride around with Justin Fields.
It would be interesting. Very interesting. We'll see how tonight goes, going up against Ron Rivera's defense, which hasn't been all that great. The Commanders have kind of been up and down. They were in a barn burner with Denver, which tells me Illinois tells me the Bears can be competitive. They're kind of one and the same right now. Maybe the Illinois is still a little bit better, hopefully, unless they lose to Nebraska, which I had to submit my Atlanta Inquirer pick this
morning. I noticed that.
We'll talk about that later in the week.
Yes, we will.
I mean, no, game day is tomorrow. Anyhow, we'll see how the Bears look tonight against – I'm just going to wonder how tuned out Al Michaels might be if this game is just a dud.
It's going to be – I don't want to watch it.
You don't have to.
I don't have any
Amazon Prime.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I don't have to watch it.
Unfortunately, there's no playoff baseball because all the series were sweeps.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? Isn't that weird? No game like Monday. Then we had games Tuesday, Wednesday.
I'm telling you, it felt
done.
Like the NCAA tournament a little bit. Like two games going on at once pretty much from 2 o'clock until the nighttime.
And just done. Yeah, that's a – can I – the U of I Atlanta League text line. Bill, you need to calm down, man. He just – drafts are anti-freedom and anti-capitalism. Why would people support him? Do you want to be told where you have to work? I have just never taken that serious. It's just how they constructed it and how they feel it brings the best fairness to the sport. I don't think there's any other motive involved. I just...
I don't know how else you work it. If you make it a free market like that, then...
You can make an argument for what Bill's saying, but why?
I get it,
why?
Like recruiting. You think about in college, recruiting-wise, you choose where you want to go.
Yeah. It's been like this for how many years?
No, I don't see
anything. This is why our world is kind of like it is now, where we need to change everything. And look what it's done. Look what it's doing. Maybe our forefathers and such didn't do a bad job on some things. And I think the drafts are fine. I think if you're last place, you get the first pick. It's called making the league equal.
Mm. Yeah, you're trying to keep interest up in,
right.
in
it's
all markets
money.
If
That's
possible.
Why they're trying to play in London. They're trying to play in Germany. They're trying to play in Mexico. They're trying to play wherever. They just want more money. And if all of a sudden you decide that, okay, anybody can play for anybody, and if nobody goes to 15 different teams and they have the worst teams, then nobody's going to support those cities. Those cities are going to drop out. They're not going to have NFL teams, and there's not that many around, not that many cities that can take on an NFL team, build a new stadium, require the kind of salary that's going to be. So now you've got, basically, you've lost 15 of your teams. So now what are you doing for your league? I mean, if that's the case, just chop 10 teams out of the way and make it more like that, I guess. I don't know. I mean, again, I understand where Bill's coming from, and I could see the argument.
And you might turn it into soccer, right?
Yeah. And I
at the Premier League, and then you're going to have relegation. And
right. I'm just simply not going to take sports that damn serious to where we're going to bring in like a collusion thing here and make it where you've got to go work there or we – won't talk to you again. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is.
Well, I can tell you.
If you don't want to be told where to go to work, then go be an engineer and pick your own spot. And don't be a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Seriously. Andrew Luck kind of did that.
Well, and as far as quarterbacks go, they're only a number of jobs. Like it might be a little bit different if you're a wide receiver.
Yeah. There's like 100 jobs for quarterbacks.
A linebacker. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just saying like, if Caleb Williams comes into the league, he's not going to go to Philly. He's not going to go to Kansas
saying.
City. He's
right.
not going to go to Baltimore where Lamar Jackson – he's going to have to go somewhere that is a quarterback-needy team.
Exactly.
Or someone kind of with a average to above-average quarterback might say, you know, Minnesota's right now contemplating it and probably not, the word is, going to keep Kirk Cousins. Maybe they say, all right, we're just going to let Kirk Cousins go and we'll try to take on
yeah.
Caleb Williams, come be our quarterback with Justin Jefferson. Now, that – would be terrible for you and I because the Bears and Cardinals would not be a desirable destination and we might just be stuck in purgatory forever, which we're pretty much in anyway. So maybe it's not that bad, Bill, you know?
I know.
Yeah, who knows? Might just be the same old thing.
Thank good for streaming services. I don't have to watch it.
I know we're heavy on this. I already queued this
up. By the way,
so
did we talk about the Peacock thing and the Big Ten basketball? And
I don't think we hit that, no.
And how, like, Michigan, Purdue on senior night.
Yeah.
And Michigan State, was that the other one? Mm. You know, just three halfway really solid games are going to be on Peacock.
Yeah, the home finale against Purdue.
Can we not at least, can we give in a little bit and say, okay, I know a lot of people are not going to pay $100-some a month for what they're paying for now and then add even more to see three games, right? Can we then say, okay, so we're going to put the Illinois-Rutgers game on Peacock. Mm-hmm. Can we not just say, Peacock, let's be honest, you're not NBC, right? You're not one of the three major studs that have been around since the dawn of TV.
Oh, they are partnered with NBC.
They're partners, yeah. But they're not there, right? So I think the NBC dude needs to go into the Peacock dude and just say, look.
Go into the Peacock. Although we know, as you said, the Peacock can be intimidating.
Maybe they're
scary.
Scared of him. But they just need to say, here's the scoop. We're going to give you some games, but you're not getting Illinois-Purdue on senior night in Champaign. Like, you don't get that. I'm sorry. Now, 3 years from now, if Peacock has proven to become a very successful streaming, and then maybe you can shoot your shot. But right now, you get Rutgers and Penn State. It's just that simple. Is that dumb, Kyle?
I mean, the reason that they do it is because they want subscribers. So if they put Nebraska and Minnesota on Peacock, nobody's buying Peacock.
Exactly.
And they're never going to grow. So,
well,
let
the Nebraska people of the world buy it. They got nothing better to do.
I saw someone tweet that it's not a coincidence that the teams with the most Peacock games are like the teams that have the most intrigue. Now, Illinois wasn't one of the top ones. I think like Michigan State, Purdue maybe have five Peacock games.
Oh, wow. Yeah, oh, no, I get it. Listen, I've worked in TV and this business forever. I know why they're doing it. They want you to cave and pay for it.
More money, yeah. Yep. It's so the finale, March 5th against Purdue, the home finale, I should say. You get the regular season finale at Iowa. But Purdue, March 5th on Peacock. You've got at Ohio State, January 30th on Peacock. And then the other one is Michigan at home, February 13th on Peacock.
Whatever.
A couple Big Ten Plus games early, too.
Yeah?
EIU, Oakland, Valpo.
See, I've gotten kind of used to that. I've kind of gotten used to the idea that I won't see Illinois basketball until, like, their fifth game.
I will give Peacock this, though. What is it? Is it $5 a month?
$5.99.
Is that what it is?
$5.99.
And Big Ten Plus isn't cheap in comparison. I think that might be $10 a month.
Oh, is it
what
really?
Have you. I don't know. Even if it's the same price. Like Big Ten Plus, the streaming quality, from what I've heard, isn't great.
Okay.
And you're getting student broadcasters.
Yeah. Right.
Now, if it was Kyle, then I'd be like, yeah, that's
that
going to be pretty good.
It's worth $10 a month.
But Peacock, you're going to have actual professionals calling these games, and the quality's a lot better.
Listen, nobody wants to.
Like, I'm not getting paid by Peacock to say that. I'm just.
I'm going to make October 5th the last time I ever rip on Peacock. That's it. I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore.
Just like after the Blues won the Stanley Cup,
right,
you never complain about another sports team of yours. I'm going to hold you to that one.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right. We're due for a break. I had something queued up. We'll play it maybe later in the show. But we'll talk Illinois football, their Big Ten opponents for this season, and those in the future now that you have USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington in the fold. We got to the Peacock stuff. We'll talk more NFL. I know we want to go through some of the matchups this upcoming weekend and what we're thinking there. And anything else, hit us up, 217-359-2255. This is The Drive.
Illini fans, gear up for the football season this year with the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Get ready to support your Fighting Illini by shopping their great selection of Illini football merchandise, including t-shirts, sweatshirts, even brand new Nike replica jerseys. Shop with them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campustown, or online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Hi, this is Kirk Lehman with Aftershock Decals and Design, and right now we are looking for an honest, hardworking individual that wants a career with Aftershock Decals and Design. If you have any kind of experience wrapping vehicles, tinting windows, we want you.
You can't touch this.
No, not that kind of wrapper.
Can't touch this.
Please go to our website at aftershockdd.com, click on the Jobs tab, and send in your resume. We want you. aftershockdd.com.
As Tapman's Towing celebrates 50 years of serving Central Illinois, we're always seeking good people to serve our great customers. Our team of expert tow professionals would like to interview others with CDLs, previous tow experience, or a strong interest in serving others. If you enjoy serving people, love working in the outdoors, and looking for a career, not just a job, we should talk soon. Do you have a strong desire but lack the experience? We should still talk. Visit our career page at tapmanstilling.com.
The Champaign Park District has some terrific fall events to jot down on your day planner. Flannel Fest will be in downtown Champaign in Westside Park from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. October 14th and 15th with music, a mustache contest, and lumberjack show. The Great Pumpkin Hunt has you looking for small painted rocks in area parks throughout the month of October. On Wednesday, October 25th at Marketplace Mall between 5 and 7 p.m., enjoy the free Halloween Fun Fest. Learn more at champagneparks.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6. Right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Here's the game. What can you watch on Peacock?
Yeah. And I've already come a, we've already become a, there's a hiccup involved.
What's that?
With the, what was it?
Law and Order Thursday.
So if I'm paying $6.99 or $5.99 to get Peacock to watch Law and Order Thursday, well now that's getting trumped for NFL football.
If you're an Amazon Prime guy.
Oh, that's right. That's not on Peacock. No. Yeah, that's good.
Let's see what else. You can watch Fast and Furious 10.
Literally only on Thursday?
I don't know. It just says Law and Order Thursday.
There are 10 Fast and Furiouses?
Yes.
I've never seen one. Is that with the bald-headed dude?
Yeah, Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel. No, I've never seen one of those. Is that also the
show I haven't kept up with it recently.
Is that where the one actor passed away in the... Yeah.
Paul Walker.
Yeah. No, I've never seen...
There are a couple good ones. I think Fast 5 was my favorite.
Okay.
The Rock was in that one.
Yeah. I have seen like a kids movie with The Rock, like the Hawaiian one or whatever that was, and I thought I thought he was really good in it. But there's just certain guys like Von Damme or whatever his name was. I never watched a movie with him in it, and like Vin Diesel just isn't the kind of guy that I'm like, yep, I'm jumping on board with him. So I don't know.
Dan says The Office is on Peacock.
Oh, okay.
Office very rewatchable.
I think The Office is on a lot of different services, right? I mean, on DirecTV, I can watch it.
It used to be on Netflix, but it's not
anymore.
Yeah,
that's right.
Parks and Rec, The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh, now hold on a second.
I think you might be into that.
Okay, Kyle, here's my wallet.
That has changed Lon's whole viewpoint on subscription services.
Anything that starts with The Real Housewives, I don't even care what city they're in. I just am interested in The Housewives. Housewives. And I'm not even saying it right. Housewives.
Love Island.
Oh.
I think that's like a reality TV show.
Okay.
Of course, it's not reality because it's about like finding love within however many weeks. Those shows are all fake, by the way.
Now,
I'm just saying that for my wife.
Here's a 217.
She's not listening, but,
Traitors is a great show on Peacock. I've never heard of that, and it probably is. Probably is a good show. But like all these others... Big Def. I know, Lon, you're a Vampire Diaries fan. And a 309 is hooked now on Yellowstone. I think CBS is playing that like every Sunday or whatever. Like, I get Paramount, so I was able to watch all the Yellowstones. So, yeah, I don't know.
You're good.
I'm good, yeah.
Yeah, I'm good on Peacock.
I am good.
Just wait until Illinois at USC coming to you.
Let's go, baby.
Live.
Let's go.
On Peacock.
Now, I will be frustrated not being able to watch Purdue and Illinois on senior night. What seniors do we have this year? 500?
Terrence Shannon, Coleman Hawkins.
Damask.
Harmon. Guerrier.
Harmon. Oh, Guerrier.
Mm-hmm.
Harmon.
Canadian.
So, yeah.
French Canadian.
That's my bad on that one. So five that we know of. That'll be a busy senior night.
Will be.
Busy senior night. Okay.
And I think Dane is technically a senior in school, although he still has like 2 years of eligibility left.
Is he going to have a big year? How would you, I want both of you guys to answer this. How would you rate Dane Dange's career so far at Illinois? I mean, he hasn't been bad.
He's only played one season.
I know. So it's like, So I take that into account, right? So it's like he's been here, it seems like, for 4 years. He played last year. Well, I mean, I don't know.
It's yeah, it's an interesting question. He's only played 1 year. So if you were to, like, stack his, like, call him essentially a freshman. Now, he had a year burned on the transfer mid-year at Baylor, but was he Kofi as a freshman? No. But he had a nice stretch there in February. There was a point in time, I think he out-battled Cliff Amore from Rutgers here in a game. We're like, oh, you know, is Dane one of the top five bigs in the Big Ten potentially? Then he fell off down the year. I think that just consistency wasn't there. He had some learning curves to go through with turnovers. I think defensively he regressed later in the season where he wasn't in the right position and all of that. But that being said, I mean, he's pretty polished back to the basket scorer, especially when he doesn't try to overcomplicate things, doesn't over dribble, doesn't try to do too much. I think that watching some of his stuff in Spain, now again, the competition wasn't very good. But I like the fact that he seemed to just sometimes just power dribble through somebody and go up. You know, one power dribble, just go up. I think he can do that against people. He does seem to be in good shape as far as running the floor a little bit better. He had a nice chase down block. So, essentially, my big picture take on him is I'm not sure if he's going to start.
Okay.
I think he might come off the bench, but I think he's a pretty nice piece, and I think he's a above-average big man in the Big Ten and potential to progress further as a guy that's, again, still has 2 years to play at Illinois.
I feel like, for me, I would like to see him play more. I feel like he gives you what you need underneath, but there are so many pieces on these teams now, and it's so interchangeable that I understand we don't really necessarily have the big man anymore. Like, Kofi was kind of the last of his, and of course Purdue's got that young man. But it's just, sometimes I think to myself, like, I can't figure out if we're wasting his talent, because I felt like he should have played more last year. But maybe not, maybe not. We'll see what happens this season. I like him around the rim. I do. So, we'll see.
What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, it was interesting last year because I feel like he started the year so great.
He did.
And then he, towards the end of the year, Underwood took him off the floor quite a bit, especially like late in games, and he'd play Coleman at the five. I do think it's going to be interesting to see what lineup we see the most of, whether it's Guerrier at the four, Hawkins at the five, or Hawkins at the four, Danger at the five. Part of me thinks that Guerrier Hawkins lineup might be the most effective one because it gives you a little more versatility. But I do think Dane, especially in certain matchups against some of those big time big men that you're going to see on the schedule, I think it can be a big weapon. And I thought he showed flashes of being a really dominant post presence at times, and then it just, the consistency, like Derek said, wasn't there.
It felt like when Trace came here in February and just dunked all over the state of Illinois, that shot Dane's confidence.
That's a great point.
That's what it felt like. After that, he kind of fell off. But I'm with Kyle. I think that if you're just talking about Coleman, who I think takes precedent, or he's kind of the guy I might focus on first, I like Coleman the most at the five, personally.
Okay.
I like him at the five and playing more of a shooter at the four, especially if Coleman's not going to be a average to plus shooter. I think if you're going to have Dane, who's a non-shooter, Coleman, who's a sketchy shooter, I don't necessarily love pairing both those together, especially if Ty Rogers is your point guard.
Yeah.
So then you're kind of getting in a situation where you're not spacing the floor and having a bunch of shot makers. But
that's a great point.
I do think that Dane, yes, I mean, throw the ball to him on the block, especially, I mean, I think that, he's not Kofi, but if Illinois is kind of in a rut offensively, I like being able to throw it into the big man and being able to get a bucket. Now, when he gets fouled down there, he's got to go to the free throw line and shoot better than 50%.
Right.
Which was a struggle for him last year.
He's lost weight, right? I mean, he's kind of revamped his body.
I know in talking to Fletch over the summer, he said if he steps on the scale, it's fairly the same as last year, but he's converted bad weight to good weight. What fat he had left, he's converted into muscle. They've talked about,
look good,
he looks more lean, but it's really just it's turning muscle, it's producing muscle from fat. And they do say he's noticeably stronger, like he's been able to knock people out of the way on his blockouts. And if his motor runs higher than it did last year, which now in better shape, I think he's got more in the tank for that, I think he can be more effective on the glass, do a better job getting up and down. Because there were stretches, especially late in the year, where a couple trips up and down the floor and he might have been winded and trailing the play. He's got to be able to keep up if Illinois especially wants to play fast.
This coaching staff's going to earn their pay this season in terms of trying to figure out how to utilize everybody on this team. Because you almost have too many guys able to play, if that makes sense. I mean, every team would want that. But normally you've got eight guys that you're for sure, these are my eight guys. Here's three guys on the bench that, you know, maybe one of them can play a little bit, but the other two come in late in the game when it's like a minute left. And that's normally how it was constructed on a roster. But now you essentially have every, except for Nico Moretti, and that's it, right? I mean, I think Dre plays quite a bit.
Dre's going to play.
So I think you
Amani
have,
might have a hard time cracking it with the people in front of him, although he's played well. I mean, he was arguably the biggest bright spot in Spain. We'll see what that translates into. I'll just tell you this. I think there have been days at Ubbin this fall where he's outplayed Quincy, which is – we'll see. That's interesting because Quincy's played 4 years at high major basketball between Syracuse and Oregon. I'm not saying Amani's going to just hit the ground running, but yeah. I mean, he's a guy that's going to be in the mix. And that's the good part of having this depth is that if somebody
no doubt
is in a rut, is struggling, you're not going to have maybe the situation where, like last year, if Matthew Meyer went rogue, you couldn't take him out because who are you going to put in? Luke
right.
Goody was hurt.
Right.
RJ couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Maybe if you have more depth, then there's more accountability. There's more being able to interchange it. I do fully agree with you, though. That's a challenge on the coaching staff to find the right mixes, try to manage some, I don't know if ego is the right word, but just wants to play. I
agree.
And if they go through the season and are able to keep most people happy, it's probably unrealistic to say everybody.
That'd be
but
pretty hard to do.
It is going to be something that is a challenge, but it's a good problem to have.
I mean, Illinois should not be out-hustled by any team. I mean, they've got plenty of guys they can bring off the bench in terms of depth. I mean, even Justin Harmon. Like, I feel like I'm looking forward to watching him. I think he's going to be a nice glue to this team, but I wonder how much he's going to play. You know, and like Luke Goody has kind of been a – now, I know he was hurt last year, but he's kind of been a stalwart of your team here for a few years, and it's like, do you not start him because you got Damask?
Mm-hmm.
And
how much is Sincere going to play?
Right. That's the funny thing is that there are guys I'm not even thinking of. Like, I wasn't even thinking about Sincere until you just threw him out there, and I'm like, whoa, he's like a crowd favorite, and not only is he just a crowd favorite, he's not Levi Cobb, who was a crowd favorite but didn't really play. He's got the ability to play and really turn a game, as we've seen him do. So I just think that it's I don't know that I'd want to coach a team that had 11 guys that I need to put on the floor and get playing time. I don't know if I could do it. That would be hard. That would be hard for me to that's why I'm not getting paid $5 million, I guess. But I don't know. That just seems like it would be tough. But we'll see. We'll see how they do.
That's why you hope you got the right guys in the locker room
right.
this year.
No, that's so true. That's so
less
true.
Less selfish guys, more guys who just want to win.
Yep.
And again, I mean, talk is cheap at this point, but I do like hearing when I interviewed Justin Harmon, I said, what do you want this year to look like for you? And he's like, winning. I just want to win.
Okay. I mean, because normally a coach settles on about eight guys, right?
Usually.
When everything settles down, normally it's a rotation of eight. So that would leave.
There are some exceptions.
Yeah.
But usually eight. Yeah.
So that's going to leave three guys, essentially. How many are on a roster? 12 now? I forgot.
13 scholarship
13.
Players.
Okay. Yep. So you got Moretti? No.
Illinois currently has 12.
Okay. So 12. So Moretti out. Sorry, Nico. Now you got Hansberry. Does he fall into one of those spots that doesn't play a lot?
One of. Although I think all these guys will get minutes. It's just how it sorts out. Like Gibbs, Lawhorn, Sincere, and Harmon are all battling.
Yeah.
Might be three guys for two solid spots.
Okay. So one of those three could be the person that's kind of left out.
Potentially. Now, I'm not saying that third guy can't play some. It's just you might be talking
I'm with you.
5 to 7 minutes a game.
It's just going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch. And it would tear me up to sit there and think, okay, we're down six to Iowa right now. with this rotation, what if we would have inserted one other guy instead of that guy? Would we be up six? You know, that those are the kind of things I think about as I'm watching Illinois when they have such a deep roster.
Yeah.
But there again, that's where the coaches, they evaluate. That's why I've got to trust that they like this Jace Butler, even though a lot of high major programs weren't knocking on his door. I mean, those are things that we have to trust them on. And at the end of the day, the results will tell you whether or not you could trust him.
Right. I mean, so, you can trust him or not. I mean, he's coming.
He's right.
And then the result of it is yet to be determined. Like, he'll either look like a reach and it doesn't pan out and he's gone.
Yep.
And you might say that he was part of not him, between him and Jason Jackson. If neither of those hit and both look like reaches, you'll say that there was opportunity lost building around Merez Johnson in that class. If one or both of them look like steals,
that was a great point.
Then I think that this class could really be huge in setting that foundation for the future. Yeah.
Okay. I'm anxious to see Hansberry. He's your guy.
I loved Hansberry as a recruit. And I think big picture, I'm very, very excited about what he's going to be.
Okay. He and Merez together. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
And hopefully Amani's able to continue to shoot the three or start to continue to build that in his game. I know I've even joked about it. What you hear right now, you got to take it with a grain of salt. But like Brad said, in practice the other day, they went through like a 4-minute up and down segment and Amani hit two threes. I don't think he's a knockdown 3-point shooter. I'm not selling you on that.
Right.
He's shown the ability at times to hit the three. I think he's good from the mid-range. But to play those two together, you need one to be able to shoot some.
Yes.
Otherwise, your floor spacing is is not there.
I don't think anybody gets a defensive rebound against us.
And this isn't YMCA basketball, as we all remember, where your two, quote-unquote, big guys, one run to this block, one run to this block, set a screen for each other.
That's all I remember.
And then one will be open.
That's all I remember, Pipes, from when I played. That was Grover 1.
It's not that simple anymore.
Grover 1.
Well, it might be in YMCA.
Kick the ball to the right wing, post player on the right side, cuts screen across away, the lane, screens, wing on the left side, screens point guard. Now you got a new point guard, wing over here. Now you can kick start across. That was Grover 1.
And I'm not bashing you. If there are any coaches out there that are running that play, I'm not bashing you. It's been going on forever. I'm just saying.
That sounds so antique now. Grover 1, like the third team we played of the season, didn't already have that one figured out, you know?
Yeah.
Grover 2, by the way, was set two guys on the block on the same side.
Oh, boy.
Kicked the ball to the opposite wing. The wing on the heavy side rolled either low or high off the two big men screens. The low big man then popped up to the elbow, and the other big man, after the one wing came across, he paused if he didn't have the layup, which a lot of times we did. We scored like 6 straight points off this. He would bust out to the wing or to the baseline, and then the big up top would then cut down to where he was. There were a lot of moving parts in Grover too. It was a good – I tried to run that with my 6th grade team.
Like a stagger screen with the bigs.
Yeah. I ran that with like a 6th grade team one time, and I think they all fell down. And I was like, let's don't do that. I think there's too many moving parts in that one. Get the ball to Eric and let him shoot.
A 217, real quick before we catch a break. 40 minutes, 5 spots, only 200 minutes a night. Don't envy the coaches at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
Divide up the minutes.
I don't either.
Not
it's
when you
weird...
got 11 guys to potentially play, and some would tell you don't sleep on Nico Moretti.
I
wonder about his defense. I think offensively he's skilled. He needs to show that he can – hold his own in college, obviously, but defense is one thing that I'm worried about with him.
Yep, I agree.
We got to catch.